Well, hello. Thank you for listening and joining She's Dressed for the Narrow Gate. So this fall season, which I know I've shared is my favorite, right? Pumpkin spice everything. I stay with apple cider in my refrigerator. But we just finished so trick-or-treaters and all of the whole we do more of a focus of harvest, but you know, Halloween. And it was really cool this year because obviously COVID adaptation, you know, everybody had to do what was best for them, but my kids didn't actually go out, but they did get dressed up, and my sister, my aunt, my cousin, and my parents and stuff came over. So it was fun. The cousins got to play, and we just kind of ate, hung out, and chilled. And we created these candy bags with scriptures, and it was really sweet as a mom to see. And then just my heart tug a little bit to see, wow, this is where evangelism can start at a very early age, and not where it creates a lot of stress or much effort, but it's just literally walking out the model, the replica of who Christ is calling us to be. So it was just a really great time amongst the stress of family pictures, y'all. So I don't know about you if your blood pressure starts to go up with that, but I promise you, this is just, I mean, I am not naturally, I wear scrubs for a living, clearly. My husband is the clothes horse, and I could wear scrubs and like fuzzy socks all day. That's my wardrobe. It's not that I don't like clothes. It's just, I don't want to put it together. I would rather, I know what I do love is Kirkland's. I really want to get like a part-time job there. I like to decorate houses and rooms. Like, that's just kind of like my little side thing I like to do. But putting the outfit together, listen, if it was not for Pinterest, and then I have to, you know, call my sister, or, you know, luckily it does help having a husband who likes fashion, because outside of giving him my vision, I only have to just focus on me and the kids, because then he has his own stuff. More than likely, he usually has parts of most of his outfit already in his closet, but it's just stressful time. And you know, when you put in all that effort and work, and I'm like, listen, y'all gonna smile in this picture, okay? You gonna smile, and we're not gonna fight, we're not gonna argue. Do you know what I had to put in to do? And I was like, Brittany, bring it all the way down. What is this? I mean, every year, it's like, why does this get me every single year for these Christmas pictures? And really, honestly, in social media days, and in a minute, watch, catch me one year. In one year, y'all might see my pictures on social media. I promise you, because it is, and it might just be a regular day that everybody is coordinated with the same colors. But for now, you know, my husband is a financial advisor. So, you know, we do, Christmas cards for our family and friends, but also for his clients who we love and such. So because of that, I still am doing Christmas cards, but that's kind of been our life right now. I hope that you guys have been doing well and staying safe. Listen, the hospitals are crazy. I work for a system called Baylor, and I work multiple ones. I float, and it's kind of cool because you get to kind of change it up. But in this COVID time, it helps me see how it's really not just this one hospital. It's really not just this one city. It's like all of them. So it's just, I hope that you're really making good decisions, because it really is this new normal combo is what I call it. It's just this cocktail of social distancing. So if you're hanging out, still not just being like right up on somebody, you're wearing your mask, and you're washing your hands, and mask or face shield. Or in the case of my kids, both when they're at school. But social distancing, mask, wash your hands. And then you can still have this new normal of hanging out with people, right? And doing life with people, but just doing it safely. So I am just going to be that ICU nurse who's just going to kind of side-eye you a little bit. I'm going to be honest, because I'm just like, what is wrong? I mean, and if I hear one more comment about, I actually just heard this about 5 days ago. And this guy was literally like, yeah, I don't all the way know that I agree that that this is a real thing. And I'm like, I guess me and my coworkers are good. Like, we could just put our feet up, we could just chill. Like, we're just like pretending to be working on patients. Like, they're not real, right? They're dummy patients. I just don't understand sometimes. So the ignorance that wraps around this, it just, it takes me to my quiet, my secret place with the Lord, to just walk in love with people. Yeah. But also the new thing. So my eldest son, our middle child, Caleb, is 8. He is about to have his birthday, and we have been talking about this birthday in list making since September. Yes, and his birthday is November 18th. Not even the beginning. Like, I would kind of give you credit if it was like November 2nd or something, but your birthday is November 18th, like literally. And he is just, so I'm so glad as a family, we are actually, so me personally, I'm committing Psalm 91 to memory. And I am up to verse 3. So I'm doing 4 and 5 this week. It's super. I'm very excited. But as a family, we're doing Psalm 23. Because it's just this issue. And it's a fine line, right? I mean, he's a kid. And it's just our sinful natures of just always wanting more. You know, you get something, and then 5 seconds later, you're back in the catalog looking at something else. But he is just like list making. And we do make a big deal about birthdays, honestly. Not like crazy, but because for Christmas, it's really just like 1 or 2 things. And then whatever, obviously, the family gets them, because we make that be about Jesus. So we make that be about evangelizing, helping, giving, etc. So we do make a big deal. However, dude, you need to like not talk to me about this every 5 seconds, about this new toy or this new thing. So it's funny. We kind of laugh to ourselves because we started wrapping in conversations about King Solomon, and you know, you get all this stuff, and then you're gonna still write a book called Ecclesiastes, and after your 800 plus wives and your multiple mansions and multiple cars, well, you know, his version of cars, chariots, and you're gonna still want. You're gonna still not have enough. So it's like, just, you're never gonna be satisfied. So just learning gratitude. So, you know, reading 1 Thessalonians is a really good one. Verses 16 through 18, but specifically verse 18 just talks about this God's will for us to just be grateful. just to have a spirit of gratitude. So, but where we're going to talk about in today is Psalm 23. Just as I already hinted, and just our contentment and our joy and our restoration and our peace in God. Yes, we're going to have our desires. Yes, we're going to have our wants, but just, it's all about realizing that it will never, ever, ever get to that place where we're ever fully satisfied, except for in him. So let's jump in. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So this was just verses 1 through 3. Y'all, that's just, I think about, and then where I want to flip over, we'll read it in a little bit, but just, you know, just kind of tab it if you want. But John 4, so then move over to the New Testament, John 4, about this Samaritan woman. The Bible doesn't know her name, or, you know, you'll hear the woman at the well. But in John 4, not even just her. Let's not even put her on blast or throw shade, but our own lives. But to biblically align myself with her, I just really align myself with her anyways. And I know it sounds crazy, because if you've done any level of church for 5 seconds, you would know that she's had multiple husbands, and she is like an outcast of society. And she is just, she's not like who you strive for, right? Like, she's not Mary. Or anybody of, like, she's not an Esther or a Ruth. It's like somebody who is the lowest of the low. Yet I identify with her, because I just think about how much we, everybody, but I'll speak personally for myself, just how I step away from God, like, so regularly. And now And when I'm saying regularly now, it doesn't look like the seasons in my life before, right? It's not involved with like partying and getting drunk and multiple guys. It looks different now. Now it's my pride. And it still was that as well back then. And now it's my my contentment issues. Now it might be joy, but just always looking for this new well, this new source, this new provider. So as it says, the Lord is my shepherd. So he is my provider. He is all that I want. I lack nothing. And when I read that to myself, I think to myself, man, I'm really not doing well with that. Just literally the first line, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. So no matter what I want to tack to that, no matter if I want to tack health, no matter I want to tack my marriage or my kids or my job or my money or this and this, you name it. No matter what, that is not what David says. It says, I lack nothing. Well, how can you lack nothing if I have this prayer list? If I have this list, and not even, let's not even make it about my prayer list. I'm talking about I'm praying for other people. And I want things for other people. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So it's just like, he is like, listen, you're going to have a whole seat here, even in this desert season that you may be in. And even if you are going to feel like you need more, it's just, but I think about how much I step away and I stumble off this path towards him. And going back to the title of this podcast, even just, you've got these two roads. You've got the narrow gate and you've got the wide gate. So are you going to stumble off the path that he really wants you on, that's going towards him, or are you going to go your own way? And I feel like God has just been sitting on me my whole 39 years. And he has just always like trying to pull me and pull me. And it's like, we're just like really these dumb sheep. And I don't say this meanly, but sheep are not intelligent animals. Just factually, they're not. And it's interesting that he uses the analogy of us needing to be led like sheep, that he is our shepherd, because we really don't know. Even in the best of your 18 degrees, you really don't know. You have absolutely zero control. And I work in an environment, and this is a conversation I have quite often, is that, and it may seem doom and gloom, and I apologize. I mean, I'm an ICU nurse. I don't really know what to tell you. But I work in a capacity that I see people's lives being completely changed, like well-doing people even. And I'm saying that even in all of their life, how could they get to this point? And it's, you have no control. So then it's just like, you're always wrestling in a spirit of anxiety and trying to make things happen because you really have no rest in yourself. God made us in such a way that we were supposed to be dependent on him. But going back to the scripture, so you know how you just go your own way. And that's why I identify with the Samaritan woman that we'll read in a minute in John 4, that she also lived her life in her own way. And it's just, and God is like, listen, it is really about me. It's about my righteousness, not ours, not Brittany's, not yours. And I can finally read into this Inside Out book, that this is my third time reading. It's by Dr. Larry Crabb, really good book. I do not all the way suggest you to read it by yourself, and you probably should work through somebody who knows the book. But I'm working, I lead a discipleship group. I'm just so grateful that God's given me the opportunity to finally do this. I've been discipled greater than 10 years ago, and I am just now being obedient to do it. But this book, a new light has come to it as I'm thinking of this inside out change that comes, like a new heart, right? A new spirit that God just gives us, new desires, new passions. If you look at my life in one column, and then you look at my life 15, 20 years ago column, contrast, some comparisons too, but major contrast. So I'm sure if you do the same thing to yourself, so it's just God can do it. He can empty you of your old self, and he gives you this new spirit, these new desires, these new passions. And why? Not because of your righteousness, but because of his. And because we're resting not in yourself, I just said you have absolutely no capacity to rest in yourself, but you're resting in what Christ did on the cross. Like, it's already done. There's no addition to what Christ has done. He's already done this. So there's no more toil and pull and earning it. He's already did it. It's dead. It's gone. Our full existence is in Christ and what he has already did. He has died and he has rose. So it's almost like he just is like this sponge that has absorbed every bit of your sin, every bit of your fallenness, right? So go back to think about my son, Caleb. So every bit of your selfishness, of your greed, of everything, he's absorbed any bit that is not right with the Lord. Because we serve a perfect God, y'all. Like no level sin. So let's not be what we always do, right? In rank sin. So let's not be like, okay, this minor sin here and then this Hitler sin. No, it's sin. It all falls short and breaks God's heart. And let's not be prideful and say, well, your sin is different. It's sin. And Christ has absorbed all of it. Literally every, because there is no minor sin. And that is so humbling, y'all. It just, the weight, the sin of your fallenness. And it's not to sit there and just be depressed in your little depressed circle. But sometimes you have to look at what Christ has died for, specific to just you, not even the totality of everything. But like, I am like a front runner, y'all. So we have like this righteousness given, not because you've earned it, not because you even deserve it, but because of God's power, his glory, and he's so good. He's so good. He's so loving. He's so generous. And y'all, this is our anchor. This is, so let's shift here. So, you know, verse 2 says, he refreshes my soul. So this is my anchor now. My soul can like, when I think of refreshment, I think of, I'm sorry, I got to use it again. I think of like that fresh pot of coffee with pumpkin spice cream in it. It's just, or it's extremely hot outside. It's just burning hot and you've been doing work in the garden or whatever. And then you just have that cup of ice water. It just refreshes, it replenishes. So this is our refreshment. This is our restoration in freedom. Freedom. To just be free of ourselves. I mean, it's just something very like burden relieving when I think about, it's not about me. It's not about like I have to do. So if I drop the ball, which I will, it's not going to all crumble, right? It's not going to all fall apart. It's not my righteousness is not resting in my lack or anything. It's all, I will never, ever get it all the way together. And he knows that. Yet I used to live this life that I was always just striving for perfection. And I was always striving for control. And those are thoughts that I still have to always hold captive because I'm still not free of that. Those are my constant vents and probably will be. Now I know how to manage them now, but that those are things that I still wrestle with today. So my anchor is found in his grace and in his love. I am never worthy. And again, this is not meant to depress or it's not meant to discourage you. It's meant to fuel you. It's meant to give life to you. Again, refreshment. It's because you don't have to. It's not saying, oh, yay, now I can just go do like I can fail like the test. You know what I mean? Like, so when I think of my 12-year-old who, y'all, I've kind of checked out of her math level. I mean, it's hard. Some stuff I'm still kind of following along with her, but we actually are now putting her in like this math help class, and then the next level will probably do tutoring. And she's not doing bad, but she's just, I just can't help her because I'm like, I have absolutely no idea what this I'm supposed to be doing some integers with exponents and adding and subtracting. Okay, I don't remember. Sorry. But it's just like when I think of her test, I'm like, man, how do I teach how we're trying to figure out the balance of, listen, don't bring home a C, but if you did get a C, like, you're still my child. I still love you. Like, you're still worthy of our love. So that's kind of our conversation with her, because she's just like feeling unworthy because of her failure. And it's like, no. You are worthy, but not because of your test, not because of the results. It's because of who you are. And for us, who we are is resting in Christ and what Christ has done. That's your worth. So yes, never going to get a super hand clap for why you come in here with a C, right? But let's work on it. I love you. I'm disappointed in this grade, but let's work on it. But I love you. Let's work on it, but I love you. I feel like I'm always exchanging that. Like, she keeps just, you know, I could say a whole sentence and somehow she's like, okay, so you're mad at me? What? Did you miss everything else I said before that? Like, how did you get that one, that literally those two words? So I just think about my failures and I think about how I will never be worthy and I will never deserve God's goodness. I will never deserve his grace, his love. Yet he is good. Yet he's generous. Yet he is loving. And it just, again, takes this focus off of me and puts it on him. And I hope that encourages you to be your anchor now, because it's just something about just culture, just ourselves, that it's like, we're always just trying to just find worth in things. And our joy, our refreshment in him, our restoration in him is literally what's going to then create joy. Because again, it takes away all of your inability and puts it into his, it's like his Christness, his Godness, his, I've heard this term, yeah, Godness. And I love that because it's really no other way to put it. We get to rest in his Godness. We get to rest in who he is. So his Godness is greater than my fears. It's greater than my failures. It's greater than any weight, any burden, any sadness, any disappointment. It literally all has to just go have a seat, because I'm being refreshed and I'm being guided in these right paths now for a greater purpose than just me. So let's just turn quickly into John 4, and I'm going to read, John 4, I'm going to read in verses 4. Now he, and so this is Christ, for the he part. Now he, or Christ, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to Jesus. Tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Last verse, this is verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This is packed with a lot, but I love this concept of, I can picture this. Jesus has been waiting for me for so long. He's been waiting for you. it's like he's just, so this part where he says he had to go through Samaria. And it's the most straight line path. But before, as I read, Jews wouldn't go through there. They would go around because they didn't want to, again, be associated with the Samaritans. So Jesus took the more direct path. He had to go through Samaria. And I just picture him as it says he sat down by the well. It was about noon. So he had this appointment time because he's God, his godness. He's God. He knows all. And he knew she was coming. Jesus is waiting, like he knows where you are. He knew she was going to be there. He had this standing secret to him, you know, to secret meaning like she didn't know it, but he knew it. He had this long standing appointment, this meeting with this Samaritan woman. And I think about, even if your physical body is in church, like you go to church, right? You go to Bible study. Even if you're, if I look at your calendar and your calendar reflects all of your ministries and all of the stuff you're doing, you may still not have had a real appointment with Christ. You may be doing the religious things and things you scripture shows you should do. You should, you know, the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together. So we should go to church. We should go to Bible study. We should grow in our grace and knowledge. Second Peter talks about, we should grow in our knowledge of the Lord. So we should do these things. And out of our growth, we should want to serve. However, you can't do all of these other things until you have had first the appointment with God. Or I'll put it like this, you can, but you're going to be thirsty. You're checking boxes. So that's not restoration. That's not refreshment. Going back to that song. That's not restoration. That's not refreshment. So even if your physical body is in church and your calendar reflects it, listen, he has the ability like no other to restore you, and he wants to meet with you. He has been waiting for you. Or let's say maybe you already are meeting with Christ on that deep, deep level. So are you going to continue to go deeper with Christ and continue to walk hand in hand with Christ? Because he is your only way to pull off everything that you're trying to do. And I don't want to make this, I know I've said this before, I don't want to make this be about a slot machine. You know, I do this, then Jesus does this. No, that's not our motive. And he knows our motives anyways. And that's not our desire. But he does have a purpose for your life. And he has a purpose in your pain. And he has a purpose in your mountains and your joys. He has a purpose for everything. So he is the only way you're going to pull off these great, great high places. And he's the only way you're going to pull off getting through those low places. So I use essential oils like all the time. And I was just thinking, like, even when my kids get sick, it's like, wait, hold on. So how did you get sick? You have like 10 vitamins and the essential oils are diffusing. I've rubbed your whole body down, right? And you've drinking a water. I juiced for you. So it's like, it's not going to be the essential oil wipe down. It's not going to be the 18th vitamin. I can get one more vitamin D. Do take vitamin D though, please. I mean, like, these are things that are fine. There's nothing wrong with the essential oils. There's nothing wrong with the vitamins. There's nothing wrong with working out. There's nothing wrong with juicing. There's nothing wrong with these things, but there's no level of that. There's never going to be enough of that to restore you. There's never going to be enough of that that's going to help you pull off. I don't care if you are vegan. I still take care of patients who have massive heart attacks who are vegan because their genetic history is that bad. Literally, like I think of a guy whose calcium score was so high. He's a vegan and he runs marathons. Like, what? You've completely jacked me all the way up. Because I cut meat out, I don't know, almost 3 years ago now. Pescatarian, whatever the term is. I eat seafood. But, and I did it for health reasons. I work out for health reasons. So there's no amount of any of it that's going to fully restore me. There's not going to be any amount of your houses or your cars or one more golf cart or not your millionth follower, not your bank account times 10. None of that is going to save you in the day or the time of trouble. So we have this invitation from Christ, just like he was waiting for the Samaritan woman. He's waiting for you at this well. And like he said, I'll read it specifically in verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it was and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So he's trying to replace all of these false, go back to Psalm 23, these false providers, these false shepherds. And he's trying to go and be your, he is trying to be your shepherd. He is trying to be so there's no substitute, right? So you can, again, you'll be smelling like essential oils when you leave my house. However, that's not the substitute for me. So do your workout, do your yoga, but you've got this invitation waiting, ladies, this invitation. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. So for those who are already believers and a part of this this amazing rest that we have with this great and loving and dependable and good and generous and graceful shepherd, I pray this encourages you. And to those who are apart from him or who do not know him, this invitation is here and it's waiting for you. Leave everything that you have been substituting for the real and the only guaranteed shepherd. I hope y'all have a great week.